welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Pan, and I am very grateful to be with you on this Saturday, November the 4th, 2017, as we take a look at the world. Oh, my. It's a big subject, and it's the subject of some things that a lot of people are very concerned about. So I often get these shall we say, vignettes, lectures about the world from people who listen to the program from all over. And I think they sometimes want religious points of view on it. And I'm not very religious, but we'll give you a couple of points of view that might help. I want to remind you, as you know, we're trying to raise money to keep this radio program on the air. It's not an easy stunt. It's not an easy task. And most people just turn their back and say, well, there are much more important things to give to. But really, that wouldn't be true, because the nature of everything that goes on in this world is about yours and my spirituality. It is. Whether you will like it or not, it is. Whether you agree with it or not, it is. And I'm hoping that you will help us sustain our radio program by becoming a sponsor, or at least making a year-end gift that will be matched. And your matching gift will go to support this radio program, our TV program, and everything that Aspire does to serve humankind. And it's quite a list. So if you feel that this radio program has helped you, or in any way the Aspire TV programs have helped you, I hope you will become a sponsor. If you go to the website at aspire.org, that's aspire.org, and you go to that page, in the middle of the page, you will see sponsorship or support. You can click on that. There is a little drop-down menu that will come, and it will tell you all about where your donations go, how they are tax deductible, and how to serve humankind. And remember, any gift you give from now to the end of the year will be matched by our donor. It's very important. People don't, they don't give much consideration to the spiritual part of this world, this life, and yet the whole life, the whole world revolves around this spirituality. So it just seems rather silly not to see it for what it is. First question comes from Jim. He says, there are so many bad things happening in our world today. I can't keep up with it. I don't even look at the news. But every so often, there will be a headline that will grab me. Is all of this pain and sorrow and sickness and tragedy a sign from God that we are doing something wrong? Jim, I'm laughing, Jim. Doing something wrong? Jim, it isn't a matter of doing something wrong. It's that we're not in accord. We're not in harmony with life itself. We're not in the order of this world. So what we try to do is break that order with our own willful intent, and then start the whole process going, whereby we create a tremendous amount of karmic mischief for ourselves. And that's why everything is happening the way it is. Our basic disregard for anything spiritual, for anything that would allude to the alpha rhythms of love that live within this whole planet and surround us and enfold us, that is the issue. But we don't care about all that, because all we care about is eat, drink, be merry, and do merry, and get all we can when we can, and the rest will take care of itself. I listen to people saying, you know, I just try to find the good, and then I do the good. How do you know what is good? How do you know? How do I know? It isn't about doing good. It's about harmony. Harmony with life. Harmony with love. The mind separates everything out. It's dualistic. It does many a crummy thing to humankind. It really does. We have no gratitude for this existence at all. We just live here. Well, I just found myself here. I didn't ask to be here. Things like this is what I hear all the time. I hear this from people at various levels of their unfoldment. Well, I didn't ask to be here. Someone put me here. I guess God put me here. And I'm just doing what I'm doing. This is the way people think. And when we think in such a way, we don't fall into harmony with life. We don't fall into the rhythm of it. And we miss the point of view that there are principles in this world and principles of life that work together to bring oneness into this world, into this living. These tragedies, if you notice, behind the fires and behind the floods and all the things, it pulls people together. Do you get it? It pulls people together to form a oneness. And we all come together to help. Does that give you a clue, Jim, about any of this? Jesus said in his teachings, there will always be wars and rumors of wars. And I am sure he is right. And with that, you can't stop these wars and these cruelties because of the collective unconscious. As long as you and I are sucking off the collective unconscious, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, we're going to have great difficulties in this world. It's just the way it's going to be. The only way to change it, the only way to move around it, is to become absolute in our oneness with each other as love. It is love that is the key. But we are not interested in any other love other than emotional love. And because we believe only in emotional love, we never awaken. Now, the moment love becomes more important to us than even our survival, as Jesus taught, that is when something of the other shore begins to rise. We become extremely powerful. How does that power work? Well, first, it changes the way I live my life here on earth. Then it starts to move into my personal life. It will move into the lives of the people I'm close to who can harmonize with me in this. Other people will be drawn to you. And pretty soon you begin to find this oneness starts to bring about, well, I want to just say it, a community of people that can do great good for those who are willing of that good. Not everybody wants great good in their life. You have to understand that. Many people just don't want great good. They want what they believe is right, what they believe is going to further them politically and socially. And when you get into that, you miss. Your goodness is very important to me, Jim. The way you devote yourself to love is very important to me. It's important to everyone. You learn that whatever is happening, whatever is occurring, everything matters. Everything matters. How you do anything is how you and I do everything. If I do things out of Greg's pedestrian mentality, everything will be done out of Greg's pedestrian mentality. But if you do everything out of a state of love, of kindness, then everything becomes love and kindness, an entrance into love and kindness. And that can bring about a great change in our world and in people. Is God giving us a sign? No, no, no. We are transgressing. You think of God as the Wizard of Oz in a cloud somewhere? No, no, no. What is happening now is happening due to the fact that we transgress laws. We don't care about love. We think love is emotion. We don't see the benefit of lovingness. of caring, of compassion. We don't see the beauty of everything that exists in this world. We only see how to obtain it. We want and want and want. We miss the entire experience of love in this world because we don't know the order of life. And if I don't know the order of life, then I'm going to muck it up. I really am. And I have in my day. I have been exactly like everyone else at one time in my life. Now this no longer exists. Now I see things for the way they are, and I see the order of life. First is compassion. Second is mercy. And third, you have to understand this, makes it all happen, forgiveness. If you don't understand the order of that life, if you don't understand the motive of that kind of life, you will miss everything that is deeply inherent to living in peace and kindness. We have a lot of inner work to do. The world as a whole will not do this work. It's just not built for it in the sense of how people think. But there will be those of us, small people in this world, small little communities in this world, where love will exist beyond the whole idea of moral rightness, wrongness, and all that other stuff that we like to get involved in. Jim, be wise. Live in love. And if you need help, the Aspire website is there. All the TV programs I've made. There are so many things there. The radio program, you can learn. You can understand. Please forgive me. Namaste. People don't want to take the time. Oh, I don't have time for that. I'll give an hour on Sunday to go to church, maybe. You know, church isn't going to help them. Singing hymns and doing all, that isn't going to help you. To awaken takes a full boogie tilt kind of effort on our part. And who's willing to do that? And who has the time? Oh, jeez. All right, the next question comes from Janet. We need a savior. Will one come from God to save our world? Janet. Janet, every woman I know, I'm not saying every woman, but every woman I know is looking for a savior, someone to save them from themselves, someone to protect them. It's in the DNA. Women want to be protected. You have to have a broad mind here, not get insulted. You want to get insulted? Get insulted. But it won't change the fact. Women want to be protected. They want to be, they want someone to do the heavy lifting. And then men, well, they try to be, and it's in their DNA to do this too, to be heroes to their women. And that's the way it works. People basically, you know, have stereotyped themselves to such a degree. Oh, I don't do that. Or I wouldn't do that. I don't want a hero. But you do. Deep inside, you wish you did. This is why people want to mate and find mates, so they have someone to help them through this world. And it's a very arduous and difficult world. It truly is. So you ask me, we need a savior. Well, can't you be the savior of your own life? Isn't that what we're doing? You are the savior of your own life, your own existence. What are you trying to save? That's the key here. What are you trying to save? Are you trying to save the world? Are you trying to save other people? What are you trying to save? And for what? Now, if you really look at it, humankind is greedy, selfish, prideful, vengeful. Why would you want to save that? Is there something to that I'm missing here that is more noble than compassion, love, mercy, and forgiveness? You want someone to do it for you, someone to come in and override our basic pedestrian mentality. It isn't going to happen. We've had many, 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 many guides come in and help us. From Lhasa to Buddha to Jesus to Mahavir. There have been many, many, many. We've had great masters and teachers in Zen. We've had great masters and teachers in all sorts of different religions. They've come in, the Sufis, to help us, to help awaken us, to get us beyond the small-mindedness of my pedestrian mentality, all of us. But we won't listen to them because they don't make logical sense. And everybody's got to appeal to the Western mentality. That mentality that is me, 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 me all the time. That's all we think about. That's all we want. Me, 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 me. What's in it for me? How can I get in on this? What portion of this is mine? We don't think in terms of how may I serve you? How may I help you? Janet, you and I don't know, neither of us know who is before us at any given time. The awakened come disguised. And the people that you and I deal with in a daily way, who knows who they really are? And when you and I are dealing with them in the most loving and compassionate manner possible, who knows the goodness that is occurring? You might be doing a great goodness, a great love, a great beauty for those people. You don't know. You might be interacting with a bodhisattva, an awakened one, but you'd never know it because they disguise themselves for obvious reasons. Look what happened to Jesus. Buddha was chased from one providence to another. He could never enter the city because people wanted to kill him. His own brother wanted to kill him. So you have to look at the bigger picture of this life. You want a savior? Look into your own eyes. You are that. You are here to not save your physical life, but to save your existence, to uplift your life beyond the karma you and I have come into this world with. It isn't bad. Our karma, you don't have bad karma. People don't have bad karma. What they have is a fate and a destiny that is very painful to themselves. And the opportunities for inner awakening are always there for everybody. But with the karma I have and the situations I've made for myself based on my cruelty, my unforgiveness, my fear, my anger, makes it hard to see it all. But when you meditate and you start working upon yourself, these things start to dropping away. These hates, these fears start dropping away. You start seeing that you're dualistic in your thinking. All of us are. And when we become one, we become silent. And when we become silent, we become one with the all. Now, right now, when you hear that in your thinking, I'm sure you think to yourself, well, what does that all mean? That's the problem. We don't know what that all means. We need to understand what that means. And when you're more interested in the way of the heart, then you are the way of the wallet, the way of your own comfort, the way you are with your own whatever security thing. You will find inside you the presence of something so magnificent, so beautiful. It will just bleed out into your life. Just bleed out. That's the inner work of all of us. I call it to let love live you. Rather than you finding love or seeking love or wanting love or expecting it to come from some savior, let love live you. Should you do that, a great awakening will occur, I promise you. A tremendous awakening. I hope that helps you. I really do. Janet, look within. Please, look within. Please forgive me. Namaste. I'm sure everybody's waiting for, you know, this thing you hear in religion, second coming. You are the second coming. Last question comes from Joe. He does not tell me where he lives. It is hard to believe in God these days, especially the way things are. What kind of God is this God, Joe? Joe, you will ask a tremendous question, one that I had when I was very young. And, you know, here's the deal. Everybody blames everything on something but themselves. People don't want to see, you know, the error of their own way. I am the God of my life. I'm the one that sets into motion my mediocrity, my hate, my fear, my anger, my justification for all those things. I'm the one that does it. No one else. To blame this on a mythical God is really silly. Jesus said it all. Buddha said it all. Lhasa has said it all. It's all about love. God is love. Jesus said it right out. He said, you won't find God low here, low there, for behold, the kingdom of heaven lives within you. I don't really care if you believe in God. I have a hard time with the word God, not because it's God, but because of the way people use it. My uncle used it with the word damn. I've heard people say, oh my God. I've seen all sorts of reactions to the word God, and none of them make any sense to me as far as finding the real presence. We live outside the potential of love that is God, because we believe in vengeance and pride and self-righteousness. That's what we believe in. That's what we think is more important than anything else in this world. Now, I can't change that in human beings. I try to show that there is another way, but it never works because people just don't believe in it. So let me just say this to you. You will find God in your heart. You will find what you call God. I don't call it God. I call it the presence, the oneness, the all, the one. Potato, potato, it doesn't matter what you call it. What does matter is, do you find it? That there is that one love. Sometimes in my meditation, it's so moving. Brings me to tears. It isn't about thought. I'm having it now as I speak to you. It isn't about belief. It isn't about any of that. It's about the oneness of love. Beyond the idea of right and wrong and good and bad. This presence that I call the oneness arises when I am no longer infatuated with my own thinking, when I am no longer subject to the thoughts of right and wrong and good and bad. That's very important. The quieter you get, the stiller you become, the more willing you are to drop your mind, to drop right and wrong, to drop emotionality, to drop what Greg and Joe might call love, that's when it appears. It does not appear as a thought. It appears as a presence. I hope that helped. Joe, thank you for your beautiful question. Please forgive me. Namaste. Well, if you have a comment or question or something I might be able to serve you in, please remember to come to the website at aspire.org and leave me a message. You can always do it. Go look at media. There will be Satsang with Siraj, which is radio, and let me know how you feel. Become a sponsor. Help us, won't you? Do something generous and unconscionably kind. Thank you for listening. I'll be back on the air tomorrow. Please forgive me once again, and namaste.